Dr. Mandy Bry, The Values Compass. Paulos Otene Books presents What 101 Countries Teach Us About Purpose, Life, and Leadership. As a former broadcast journalist for BBC and Reuters, Dr. Mandy Bry has traveled nearly the entire world. Now a global authority on values, she takes the reader on an intellectual and emotional journey to 101 countries through her book. She does so with the purpose of providing us a values compass that helps us distinguish what and how we should reflect on when we are faced with our major life decisions. We often wonder how we can get the most of ourselves and how we can lead the most meaningful life. Dr. Mandy Bry considers that mapping our values is indispensable for finding the answer. Values represent the aggregation of our life experiences, personal aspirations, family inheritance, and cultural grounding. These aspects together define the path, partner, lifestyle, and goals we choose for ourselves. Moreover, even the way we see the world. Sorting the values in five groups, the author lists all 101 countries presented in the book in one of them, based on the value that most defines them. In this system, she listed Hungary in the group of communal values and linked the term competitiveness to it. How can we put into practice all the knowledge we get by learning about the 101 countries' 101 most defining values? At the end of the book, the author provides us with a very practical step-by-step guide for doing so. At the launch of the Hungarian translation of The Values Compass, our guests were Mandy Bry, author of The Values Compass, and Norbert Csizmadia, chairman of the Paulos Otene Domus Mariti Foundation.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. First of all, Mandy, thank you very much for accepting our invitation. So very good and glad that we can meet this online presentation today. And this congratulations on your book. So we are very proud. This is the book in a Hungarian version, in a Hungarian title. It's called Értékiránytű, 101 ország tanításai célokról, életről, vezetésről. And first, I would like to introduce your book about the presentation. And okay, so can you see of the
I can.
All right. Okay, so it's brilliant. So the first that you know is very, very interesting, the guidebook, and even about the management book, and of course the geopolitics book, and even that I'm a geographer, so I enjoy so much. And the personal story that I book, I've been in end of January in Abu Dhabi. It was a World Global City Summit. So I found in the bookshop, and immediately I really like this kind of books where it's like a list 100 great place, 100 interesting area to discover. And I think this is a kind of great lonely planet book, but this is not a lonely planet. This is a value planet. So this is a story about the 101 country around across to the value. And of course, we are living of the age of the new world order, where it's a new collaboration, new values, new fusion, and the security getting more important, cooperation, predictability, appreciation to the nature, the role of the family and job transformation, education, technological singularity. And your book is still the complex journey around the world, and of course, the entire personal story to the rituals around the defining values. So I really like, for example, about the historical outlook, especially since it's not only about the present and the past, but even to the future as well. And, you know, as the Mandy Price, she's expert of the global values, traveled more than 150 countries and reported to the BBC World Service. So the Mandeep is a philosopher following the politics and economic studies at MSc International Development in the London School of Economics, including the MBA Business School, and with her second year to the Harvard Business School and MIT. And she's a whole PhD of the global values. So this is the value of compass is... So this value of the compass book is a fresh and immersive and thought-provoking guideline book. So the book calls the journey across to the 101 countries with the intention to discover, to better understand the values that govern each individual country. Define each country with values. So each country has got a special cultural language. What is the attitude and manage the many areas of the everyday life? For example, the street clothes, if you write about in Italy, the behavior, atmosphere of image of country, the brand, the gastronomy, the music culture, the community life, technique, and even the business protocol behavior. So this is the book, I think I call it then, is it called the book? Your book is the power of the values. So the essence of the book, of that operation of values, can be the best achieved in the different countries in the world. And of course, is the values that determine each country come from different aspects and many sources. So given from natural history, they came from geography, the religious computation, the tradition and combination of the population, the basic value the nation develops over a century or millennia and the passed on from generation to the generation, what is very important is constantly evolving to the basically. So if we are dealing with your book is the five different values, we can find this very special map. And the Mendy Prize book of the five category of the values. To the first around the value of change. Of second one, this is a red color. The second one is a permanence value or the continuous value. The third one is a connection value, including Brazil, Croatia, or Turkey. The fourth one is community values. And the fifth one is the fundamental values. So I just want to explain some examples. So for example, you wrote about your book, the China is a pragmatism. Estonia is like a dynamism. Singapore is a order. The South Korea, it's called it's like a dynamism. United Emirates, it's called as a vision about Ireland. Ireland is this land of the spelling. Italy, take care. I really like the book in the Mamma Cultura. And the Costa Rica is like peaceful with the harmony or with nature. Malaysia, for example, to the harmony. Colombia is very colorful, not just only the music, but all the natural environmental issues about this the diversity. Bhutan, everybody thinking about that. This is a happiness, like a gross national happiness. Or India, this is the faith. Japan is the respect. New Zealand is an environmentalist. Rwanda is a clearness. Philippines, there is a family. And of course, if you are not using of the country names, but using of the name of the values, every country is getting of the new, very special map. So only because we are very proud that the first language is published, not in English, so different language, it was a Hungarian. Very, very glad. So what you think about what is the value of the Hungary? So we are very proud because the Hungary, the main values of the competition and the spirit of competitiveness. Even, you know, about the spirit of competitiveness, if you write about your book, just so many different the competition. And there is a Hungary is a great power in science, technology, sport, superpower. We are very glad in the 21st century, the first issues of Nature magazine, it was a title, the cover and the title it was written is the 20th century was written in Budapest. Atomic age, computer age, age of internet, the space age. You're writing about your book, about the Hungarian invention, about the automotive industry, the computer technology, the medicine. And outstanding of the results. So for example, the Nobel lecture per capita or the Olympic medals per capita, number of Olympic medals of capita versus 6 times bigger than in, for example, United States, the creative industries, natural science, for example, in the young Olympic students, mathematics, physics, biology, chemistry, and even to the film industry. And as you know, you can recognize the Hungarians with a revolving door effect. So it's very interesting. And the generation about the Mertens, Szilárd Leó, Neumann János, Tellerede, Rubik Ernő, Szent Györgyi Albert, what you are mentioned in your book. So we are thinking, of course, Hungary, the territorial smart country, but it's like creativity and talent is a breakthrough globally. And you know, just I want to finish off my short presentation is always is I'm a geographer is interesting of the genius Loki, and the Hungarian philosopher is Hamvas Béla is writing. Of course, it's before just one more sentence is Robert Capa is writing is not enough to be the talent. You also have to be Hungarian. And Hamvas Béla is writing about the five genius in the book, because to be the Hungarians is a balanced word of the five genius. The five genius Loki, including of the south, what it means the sun and the ideal of life. The west, where is the social balance. The north, the closest to the nature and the sensibility. East is the desire for freedom. And the fifth, of course, is the middle the period, or the Hamvas is called in a Transylvania and integration to the wealth. So the summarizing of the Hungarian chapter in your book is the written, the spirit of competition was born with us to make a person work hardest of all and seizing the gift, the opportunity. And we have all the five the things we want, because if something is certain in life is that to the competitor always want to catch up sooner. So this is about Hungary, and I think you can write very interesting 101 story all around the world for the different nation. So the Mandy, please tell me about the idea, the comparing individual values that come from, and tell about your others, the travel, how is this working? So for example, imagine you choose a country, to visit the country, the conversation with the people, determine their value base, or how's it working that?
Well, tell me, firstly, the presentation you just did, Norbert, was sensational. And you've just taken the readers all around the world. Now, naturally, any reader or any viewer right now would think, wow, it's, you know, when I go to Japan, do I feel a sense of respect? Or when I'm in India, do I feel that faith is prevalent everywhere? And I guess my way of traveling was not to ever go to a hotel or not to have the same kind of standard of life I have at home, or have even a better standard of life or comforts. It was simply to really absorb the nature and the culture, absorb, see why people had evolved in the way that they had. And often, just as you said, it's a combination of their geography, their history, their the food that they eat. But why do they eat that food? Again, because of the geography that they're in. So much actually can be explained by geopolitics. And so if you just become a fly on the wall, the truth is, I think, that humans wish to become the very best versions of themselves. Like, we have a natural instinct to want to evolve into our best version. But what that looks like or how that happens depends on the context you're in. So close your eyes and think about the last place you went to, and you can probably start to smell a different type of smell. Maybe the river was nearby, as is in Budapest. Maybe the sea was nearby. Maybe you get the sense of, like in Chile, the sense of perspective, you know, the Atacama Desert and the width and the breadth of that country. Or maybe it's a sense of carnival, as in Brazil. So you get the idea that immediately you will be hit by an impression. And what I tried to do was capture that and explain why it was the way it was, why you felt as you felt, why you experienced what you experienced. And hence the sense of going through history and then taking you into now and actually to be able to explain the future.
Thank you. You are writing on your book, your mentions that the reader can select is 20 countries to describe its values, the living the fight to the end. So which five or which 20 is in your list?
So my hat off to you for creating that map of the world in terms of the core values, the continuity values, the change values. You really have blown me away in the way that you've really absorbed this book. And it's exactly that when you're going through the book, the idea is not to let it wash over you. The idea is to interact with it like you'd want to interact with the world. And we are in a slightly strange year this year. We're in a year where we can't travel the way we normally travel. I'm really glad you picked it up in January in Abu Dhabi. That's probably the last time we could travel freely in the way that you just did. Since then, people have had to, you know, people are kind of caged in. And so if you imagine when you're going through the book, I actively ask you to have a pencil in your hand, or if you're on a Kindle, to underline the things that grab you. And you'll find that if you're a communicative person, the community values might grab you more. Or if it's really important for you to relish change and to have that sense of freedom and uncertainty, you'll find that you're attracted more to those. But the aim of the book is not to see where you lie. The aim of the book is to find out what really matters to you. And so if I ask you, of those 20 that you've underlined or circled or that have attracted you, you will find that they are overlapping in some way. So for example, excellence and ambition might be, you know, if I really pushed you, you'd be able to say, actually, it's excellence that matters to me, and therefore it feeds my ambition. Or I'm competitive because really I just want to be recognized, for example. So it helps you pull apart the values to really figure out what is it that's driving you. If you have too many things driving you, it's really hard to focus. If you have too few, you don't have that wonderful balance that I love that you said with the hungry, with the north, south, east, west, you lack the balance. So 5 is a reasonable number to push yourself. And I take you through a process of how to push yourself to get down to 5 that you can comfortably manage and that can lead to a focus in your life.
And what do you learn from your, what's the main messages for the readers?
So I think right now you can really try this out. We are making really big decisions. We're making decisions about, oh, maybe you're not working anymore. Maybe you're on furlough. Maybe you haven't visited your office in many, many months. Maybe you're questioning where you could live or where you should live. Or maybe you could go to the countryside now. What would that mean for your family? Would that mean you can look after your older parents, perhaps? So in this questioning, the way we are always subconsciously driven by are our values, but we've never had that conversation. We don't talk from a place of values. We talk from a place of pro and con. And the way that the human mind works is that when you're making a decision, you'll naturally make as many pluses, as many minuses, and then you stay in that dilemma. And what to learn from this book, and this book is for leaders. It's a business leadership book. But we're all leaders. We're all leaders in our life. So what the book encourages you to do is to prioritize the top 5 so that you're forced to put a number 1 just for this, let's say, the next 6 months or the next year, or you define the period of time. But if you're forced to put a number 1 and then a number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, and you've devalued some and valued, you know, prioritized or valued, put a greater emphasis on others, then making these micro and macro decisions that are creating your life are easier to make. It's about really thinking about your legacy, really. What would be said at your deathbed? What do you wish was said at your funeral? What eulogy are you writing? And you're writing it every day in how you're spending your time. So it's helping you do that thinking right at the upfront so that when you're then making your decisions, your value set, you already know your value set. When companies do this, they're much more effective.
Okay. You know, if I'm travels always in Urban, I really like to read the magazines. So for example, the Condé Nast Traveler or Lonely Planet and Different Travel. And I see your bookshelf, there's a travel book. So I really interesting because even that you are a great traveler. So can I ask some ultimate question and answer about the travel and the values? So you if you're ready, can we...
You may I tell you that I love the fact that you mentioned the Lonely Planet several times. So, you know, the Lonely Planet has now been sold off, but the original founder, Tony Wheeler, really praised and endorsed this book. And I think it's because he also had this impression that there is a gift or a treasure or something incredible in each and every country. So the reason I bring this before you give me the quick fire round is because you might say things like, what is your favorite country? Or where did you, you know? And just before you say that, I think the reason I wrote the book the way I wrote it is because truly I saw something remarkable in each and every place, just like you would see something remarkable in each and every person.
All right, okay. So just about your the values of your travel. So is what was been your favorite travel destination so far?
So
just
have I
an example, just suddenly what you are thinking.
Okay, all right. So even though I have said, I gave the caveat that everything has been remarkable in its own individual way, I think what you're looking for is a colorful story, something that was truly incredible. And I love the fact that you put the picture up of Bhutan. Imagine a country that's truly focused on happiness. Mm-hmm. It's not thinking about its GDP. It's not thinking about efficiency. It's not thinking, how can my population be the healthiest or whatever, whatever. It's thinking, what is the seed and the crux of happiness? And to have that, as I've met the King of Bhutan, and I remember clearly him saying, when that is your focus, then you think, actually, is urbanization, like people flocking to the cities, really the best thing for my country? Is it that people don't have to wait at traffic lights because we don't have any traffic lights, because we don't have enough traffic? Or would that be better? Would it be better if I have a male from every family meditating for the happiness of their family and their community and the world and uplifting the vibration of the nation? Or would it be that everyone's the most educated they can be? Or could there be a spiritual education? I mean, it was mind-blowing to be in that country and to look at this, what they call the Dragon of the East, to look at this kind of, it was even, everything was quite, it was a very fragile balance between what is progress and is this progress actually leading to our ultimate happiness?
Yeah, thank you. Second question is, you are visiting more than 150 countries. So there is a countries in your bucket list you are wanting to visit it? Which one?
Yes, I'd love to go to Namibia next. Botswana, I'd love to do a safari there. I actually tried to get into Africa during the summer or during this past year, and Africa really closed down during COVID. So it's still number one on my bucket list, because as soon as, you know, we're allowed to travel, or as soon as they give visas or will issue, open their doors, I'll be the first there.
All right, okay. And which country you find for friendless people?
Friendly people.
Yeah.
This is such a tough one, because if I say another country and you'll say, but Mandeep, we're friendly, and every country thinks they're friendly, right? Every country also thinks they're very hospitable. So it's a tough one. I gave hospitality to Turkey, because really, although all of the Middle East and indeed most of kind of Eurasia and the East would think they're very hospitable, in Turkey, you find it impossible to even pay for a meal. Like, people will quickly want to cover you everywhere. If you go to their home, they're willing to give you their bed. They would like do anything so that you're comfortable, and they'll go the extra mile. But the friendliest of people, in Jordan, I found them to be very helpful. Again, they would, if you ask the directions, I remember once being in New York and I asked someone, it wasn't even very far away, like, you know, where the Symphony Hall was. And he said, what do I look like? A map? And walked right past me. And it was like, he didn't have a second to even stop. Yeah, he said that while he was walking.
Okay, then what's your favorite travel of your childhood memory?
Favorite travel?
Yeah, from your childhood memory.
I am Indian. Ethnically, I am Indian. And the first time I went to India was mind-blowing. I went at the age of 14, and I realized, in India, they know I'm not Indian by just the way I move my head or the way I walk. I don't even have to talk. They already know I'm not brought up there. And in England, they think I'm Indian. So that was a real mind-blowing moment.
Okay, which you prefer, countryside or urban areas?
Both at different times.
All right, okay. Tea or coffee?
Tea, because there's so many different varieties of tea. I know there are varieties of coffee, but tea I prefer.
Okay, what does your road trip, the music playlist looks like, if you listen to the music in your road trips?
It's always the local radio, because if I'm not picking up the sounds of the environment and the local sounds, then I'm missing out.
Okay, one thing you never told anyone about your travels.
Wow.
If you get,
I'm gobsmacked. Okay. Wow, this is good. Norbert, not many people leave me speechless. You've left me speechless. Let me think, something I've never told anybody. Oh my God. Okay, so I remember being on a, okay, it sounds very naive, but I thought brown people couldn't really get sunburnt. I thought that we, you know, we have natural melanin in our skin. I remember being on a boat in Cambodia, and only for a few hours, I was at the top of this boat and maybe I fell asleep. And when I woke up after 2 hours, I was really in pain. And I realized that my skin had burnt so much that I could peel, and I did peel the whole top layer of my skin off. It was that burnt.
All right, thank you. And the last question for this block, I want to focus to the Hungary, because of course, yeah, we are very proud that you are wrote about your book is a spirit of competitiveness. So it's, how do you find for the Hungarian people or when you visit in Hungary?
So firstly, I think you are a classic example of competitiveness in the sense that although there were already contracts and deals signed with multiple countries across multiple languages, Hungary, out of the blue, you out of the blue, managed to like kind of cut past all of those people and actually be the very first to publish it. From the moment you picked up the book to the moment that you translated it and it's out today, it's done with breakneck speed. And that's like that competitive spirit that I saw and see. And we had a dinner yesterday with 25 of the most influential Hungarian women. There were racing car drivers, there were astrophysicists, there were like the best of each and every industry. And they all spoke about how the kind of Hungarian education system and even Hungarian parents right from the get-go were like, you could do better in maths. Why can't we just do this faster or better or with your full kind of full energy? And it was this sense of nothing will hold us back, because already there are so many things perhaps that are holding us back, you know, in terms of history, in terms of where we stand in the world, in terms of like, we are not going to let any other barrier get in the way. And this, I saw this in so many aspects of your culture and your life. And we were talking the other day, even about the richness of your language, for example, for the word mobility or for mobility. I think you said that there were what? 20 words for mobility, maybe in English, maybe 26 in Italian. And we know how many words there are for, you know, other aspects. And yet in a Hungarian, there are 1,000 words, different distinct words for mobility. I think that says everything, because you can be really distinct and precise and focused when you have that richness in your language. And also the richness, you can see it just in your architecture. I think if your eyes are being fed with that kind of beauty, and not just in the outside, like the average tourist sees, but because I said to you that when I travel, I try and not stay in hotels and not see what the foreigner sees, but kind of go into the land. I would see this rich, like this incredible beauty inside, like the way buildings are painted inside. It's not a simple magnolia that I have on my walls. It's like intricate. And this kind of attention to detail, which I think is a little bit like your people. They're very rich on the inside. You don't think when you're meeting a Hungarian that, oh my goodness, I really better watch out. But as you get to speak to them, you realize how much depth there is. And I'm very, very proud to have a copy of your book, Hungarians at the Forefront of the World. I have to say, just as the slides that you produced, this has that same kind of vision and a breadth and depth. So I think the reason you are kind of enriched by this book is because you have all those treasures, all those values within you and within your society. And when you have competitiveness at the forefront, then you're really saying, whatever your talent is, excel at it to the fullest, like really make that talent shine. So all those values are brightly kind of, you know, brightly glittering in Hungary.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind. Yeah, of course, we are very proud because we started collecting this 330 samples in Hungary. That we realized in more than half there is in Hungary, and the success is getting is number one. And you thought about the architecture, I just realizing it's not just the parliament, one of the nicest buildings, always the national parliament is always important, but it's a full of tower. So I just contacted and made a research. So you can imagine in our Hungarian parliament, there is a 365 tower. So like every day is in the 365 towers. And this is the third largest parliament all around the world. And I was very glad that I heard about your very special, the online dinner yesterday with the 25 Hungarian women. Very successful woman, including the Marta Sebastian, and it's different, a lot of people. So it's great because you can see of the different and all the focus, like the creativity and of course the talent. You know, I want to tell to the audience about your book. It's we're very proud because it will be the official book for next years of the Tokyo Summer Olympic Games. So it's, could you tell for a story? So it's congratulations. I think it's a good choice. Just tell for the stories how it's happened, this one.
Yes, I'm definitely gonna tell you the story. I'm just going to say that the picture I chose for Hungary is here. And I believe you're sitting within these towers, right? Because your publishing building is just within that iconic scene. So just to kind of emphasize your towers. And each of those 25 women are going to pay that dinner forward to another 10 women each. So the next Hungarian dinner will be 250 women. And, you know, I think talent knows talent, and Hungarian talent knows a lot of talent. So, okay, to your question about Japan. Very similar to you, it had nothing to do with me and nothing to do with my foreign rights agents. Somehow, the Japanese, some very like high up person, I think in a technology firm in Japan, came across the book, took it to the publisher and said, what do we know that's brilliant about Peru or Paraguay or Papua New Guinea? Like, where are our talking points? How are we going to celebrate the world when they're looking at us during the Olympics? How are we going to know that we have a really positive talking point? And generally media, I know because I've worked in it for the last 20 years, focuses on the catastrophe, on the negative, on the hurricane or the tsunami or the pandemic or whatever. And so we don't often know something positive about all these different places. And they, out of their own volition, wrote to me and said, would you mind if we publish this as the guide to the Olympics? And so that we make every photograph in color, and we have country statistics on each of the countries as you enter. And we have a country flag for each of the countries. And I think they already had, how can we make this, how can it be that the Japanese people have a brilliant talking point as all these people come from around the world? How can we make sure that they are celebrated and that their heart is lit up? Because we are that excited that we are kind of, you know, for this one moment, celebrating not just the athletes, but each and every country around the world. So that's how it happened. They contacted me.
Yeah,
it's a dream come true.
You know, when I read your book, for me, it was very interesting. For example, Italy, you write about values, it's a care. And I just thinking, no, it's Italy is like Dolce Vita or different aspects. So it's, but for example, after the pandemic is starting in the year of the 2020 in January and arrived in March, and first place was in Milano and in Italy. And after we just realizing that this pandemic is just the focusing of the family art, the care of the three generation living together. And I know that you've been in Toscana in the summer. So you see yourself. So how is Italian people is changing? Because, you know, is the virus is attacked to the care values. So the main values, so it's Italy. So you get through when you are writing, for example, about Italy, to the care is the main values for Italians.
Yes. I think that when I was writing the piece, I was writing it in terms of their attention to detail. And yes, you're right that attention to detail spreads across their family, but you also see it in how they design any part of their life, you know, whether it's their cars or their furniture, or whether actually, when I got to Italy, I realized you don't need that much hand sanitizer because, you know, normally in a bathroom, if you're touching the taps or you're touching the door, in Italy, you don't have to do that because they normally have a pedal or a faucet, like a pedal to turn on the tap, or they have the bidet to wash yourself, or they have all these clever little, again, attention to detail ways of keeping sanitized, not because of COVID, but because this is how they've lived over many generations. All their dressing, the way they dress, will be very particular. It won't just be very designer and, you know, carefully designed, but it's also make sure you wear a scarf when you go to the sea because there's a bit of a breeze. And so they take this kind of attention to detail. And as soon as I got to Italy, I was asked to go onto the national television. And one of their first questions to me was, what does the world think of us now? Do they want to travel here? Do we have a really bad reputation because COVID spread like wildfire? And I said, it's the opposite. I think we actually have a greater respect for Italy because the way that they addressed the pandemic, the way they made masks compulsory as soon as you step outside or as soon as you go into it, whether it be a gelateria or an outdoor market or into a shop, you have your mask on. As soon as you come in and out of any location, you sanitize your hands. There was this, again, the attention to detail such that they were able to get control their rates and they've remained low. Here I'm sitting in London. I can't go to Paris this weekend, even though it's my very good friend's 40th. And I can't go to Spain and I can't go to, you know, there's quarantine if I travel to any of these countries, but there's no quarantine for Italy, which is why I was there over the summer.
Yeah. And I just want to ask you about COVID or changing of the values to the pandemic. So is there any nation or priority value which will draw to the attention in the current the COVID pandemic situation?
Yes. I just want to say that the flip side to competitiveness is collaboration, as in they have two sides of the same coin. And I found during yesterday's dinner it to be true, even though this is what I was thinking in the first place, that every one of those women, even though they were at the top of their game and they were competitive to be there, they were also extremely collaborative. And I think there's been a shift in values over the pandemic. Like, if a company is only thinking about itself, it's not valued as much anymore. We want companies that are showing that they will, let's say, collaborate regarding the vaccine and make sure that the vaccine is actually beneficial and possibly available for everyone who needs it. We're valuing compassion. We're valuing creativity. We're valuing this sense of community that I don't think we really appreciated in the same way before. So I think already Hungary is at the forefront, even with this change in values during the pandemic, because I think actually in Hungary, you wouldn't be at the forefront of your game if collaboration and community and this kind of emphasis on these C's that I've just mentioned wasn't there.
All right.
You have to have a really good support structure and you guys have that.
All right, thanks. And during the preparation of your book, did you find any nation which can fit into the multiple categories, or did you find that countries is outside of all of them, or what country you can take of these five different values?
So when you say multiplier category, you mean does
mixing, change of values and connection values together.
Oh, I see. Do they have more? Do they have several values? Okay. Yeah. When before this book was going to come out, I think that was my biggest strength and weakness, or biggest fear and asset, was the fact that people would think that each of these countries only have that value. But of course, that's not true. Just like there are people have all these values, each of these, every country has multitude, many, many, many multiples of these values. And I just speak about, instead of giving you a very boring book about values, like just talking about generosity or just talking about teamwork, I simply showed you a colorful way of discovering values. But my aim is not to say that that Madagascar is only about solidarity, for example. My aim is simply to say solidarity can be a quite an incredible value. What would it look like? What would your life look like if you were each other's insurance policy, if you cared for someone else the way that you would want to be cared for example, with the case of solidarity. So my aim is simply for you to almost put a torchlight into yourself so that you focus on the right kind of values for you. It wasn't to say, you know, this country is definitely this or this country is definitely that. Here I'm just almost playing and taking you around the world in a colorful way to describe these values.
All right, okay. Thank you very much. So we, I think, is the finish our time. So I want to show again, you know, as the Hungarian language is so difficult, so could you tell for the your title language is Érték iránytű?
I would never have guessed, but I could tell by the subtitle. And I actually love what you did with the front cover. I love the fact that it's embossed. I love the fact that it's kind of got this dial, because I'm just going to show you for comparison. This is the English kind of version. And I think the English version leaves you, whereas yours is very directive, just as you would expect for a very clear competitive nation. it's very clear. And I like that, it's strong.
Thank you. We are very proud that your book kids can read in the Hungarian language. You can find in your shop. And Mandy, thank you very much for this very, very interesting conversation. I very enjoy. And I really hope that end of the pandemic, we can travel and we can invite here in this beautiful and very the spirit of competitiveness, the land of the spirit of competitiveness country here in Hungary, and want the show for more, and we'll continue this conversation.
I would love that. Could you hold the book up one more time? I'm just taking a shot of you. Could you hold the book up?
Yeah.
Hold up the book. One, two, three. I've got it. I have to say that it's because of you. I've got it. Because of you that this book has, flourished in Hungary. And I'm extremely grateful for you exemplifying and being such an exemplar of that competitive and that zest for life, the zeal, the kind of passion with which you have done this. Is the passion and the role models that I would expect in Hungary. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the name of the Hungarians. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for
following us.
You can find the Hungarian version of the Values Compass in the Paulus Athéné Books webshop or in bookstores. Thank you for your kind attention. If you enjoyed our talk, we look forward to having you with us next time as well.